I met Tally about, 20 years ago? Been a while. She would come to our church periodically, and sometimes the Lord had a purpose for her life, but she had some serious physical problems. She went by Crystal at the time, and so we began praying, and the Lord did some ministry in her life, and matter of fact, it could have taken her life. I mean, that was how. She was allergic to everything. She became allergic to her own saliva. It was a horrible situation. And the Lord healed her, and so then she decided to go to Israel to be a missionary. That's what she's doing even now. She's a missionary in Israel, and she met her husband there, Daniel. And so, Daniel, good to have you this morning. We are honored to have you in our midst. Miss Frances, great to have you with us as well. Glad you could come today. Now, that's Crystal's mom. So, oftentimes the enemy tries to take out those who God's hand is upon and wants to use in a mighty way. And so, we're just grateful to have you with us. How are things in Israel right now?
Very hard.
Very hard. I'm sorry?
The coronavirus is just everywhere.
Everybody in their homes for 4 weeks.
Oh, really? Wow. Okay. Wow. Oh my goodness. We're blessed. We're fortunate.
They had a record sequence for 4 or 5 weeks.
In Israel? Really? Wow. God is up to something. Yeah, he's turning up the heat. Turning up the heat. The enemy is running just as quick, fast as he can, trying to demolish, trying to destroy, trying to just turn everything upside down. But at the same time, God is on the move. To share this with you, I'm not going to share a lot. A young lady that I ministered to, that came to our church periodically when she was a teenager. Kind of left the Lord. Well, never did connect with the Lord, honestly. But she left the church and left, got out of the picture of her life. She contacted me this week. 18 years later. She said, "Is Pastor Brad still pastor at this church?" And so we've been corresponding, and God's moving in her heart, in her life. She's now 32 years old, I believe. And it's amazing what God is doing in the midst of the mess. In the midst of the mess. And on one hand, we look and see what's taking place in Portland and other places and kind of, this is crazy. But then on the other hand, you see what God's doing and say, man, this is crazy. This is awesome crazy. And so we're going to focus on what God is doing. And pray against what the enemy is doing. Because God's going to be victorious. He always is. He always has been.
Yes.
And no matter what anyone else does or says or what the enemy's plans are, I look at it, and it's almost like the enemy overplays his hand and people wake up. Oh, and then God gets the glory and God becomes victorious. It's amazing. Even when Jesus was on the cross, Satan said, "Oh, yeah, I won." Yeah. Exactly. 3 days later, he said, oh, man, I lost. So, we're going to just concentrate on what the Lord is doing and not panic during these times. Amen. It is good to be back with you. I missed you last week. I appreciate Doc Bennett sharing with you, and I hope you received much from that. He told me he preached out of Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. That's one of my life verses, of course, and glad that he was able to accentuate that as he preached. Today I want to talk about, so we're still talking about heaven. I don't know if this will be the last message on heaven or not, but this is what I've got for today. Okay? So we're going to be talking about God with us. God with us. We sang several songs this morning talking about God. That we need you every hour. Be there close by. How many of you need God with you? So one of the most phenomenal revelations that we find in Scripture is that God wants a relationship with mankind, with humankind. That is just a phenomenal understanding, phenomenal revelation that God wants a relationship with those that he has created. We find that even in the very beginning. You remember when God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And God divided the light from the darkness, and the darkness he called night, and the light he called day, and evening and the morning were the first day, and he said, man, this is good. Well, on day six, he said to the other Godhead, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. And so, male and female, he created them after his likeness. Then he placed them in a beautiful garden. He named them Adam and Eve, placed them in a beautiful garden. And can you imagine God himself? Scripture says that he walked with them in the cool of the evening. So every evening he would come and he would, I'm assuming, probably show them the garden, show them the pleasurable flowers and the beautiful flowers and the wonderful fruit trees and everything else that were at their disposal. And I can imagine, see, I'm from Mississippi. And we had scuppin' on vines. Scuppin' on vines. Actually, scuppin' ons are like a grape with a thick skin. And I remember on Sunday afternoons, we would climb up in these trees, climb up the tree, lie on the scuppin' on vines in the trees, and just pick scuppin' ons off. Big old vines, big old things going up. We had bullis vines as well, bullises and scuppinons. You can look it up. That's not the way it's spelled. It's spelled sculpernong, but that's not the way you pronounce it. And we would oftentimes cut us. So these vines grew from the ground, top of the trees, would often cut these vines and swing. Tarzan, yodel like Tarzan. And I'm wondering, did God swing on those vines? Show Adam and Eve the pleasures of the garden? I wonder. I think so. I kind of think he did. I think he was all about having a good time with his creatures, his created beings, with humankind. because he created us for relationship. Isn't that crazy? David said in Psalm 8:4, who is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? I mean, even David was like, this is crazy. This is crazy. God wanting a relationship with us. At that time, God called himself Elohim. Elohim was the triune God. It was a plural term for God. Daniel could help out with this since he speaks Hebrew. But am I correct? Okay. Thank you, Daniel. I'd have hated if he had said, no, that's wrong. Aloha? Really? Aloha. Sounds like Hawaiian. So, this Elohim, this triune God, said, let's make man in our image so that we can have relationship. And so every person ever created was created for this one purpose, for God to have a relationship with them. You were created to have a relationship with God Almighty. And you know the story. The relationship was destroyed when Adam and Eve sinned. Not only was it destroyed for them, but it was destroyed for all mankind after them. But then God said, listen, we've got to fix this. Because I want relationship. We've got to fix this. And so he sent his son Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 9, it says, unto us a son is given. Unto us a child is born. Call his name Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. God with us. God with us. See, God's plan from creation was that he be with us. And so he said, I'm going to send Jesus to be with you physically, and not only be with you physically, but there's a problem with sin in people's lives, and so I'm going to allow Jesus, my son, to live a perfect life so that when he goes to the cross and he dies, he can take man's sin upon himself, and people will be cleansed from their sin. Thereby, I can have a relationship with them again. That was God's plan, because he likes relationship. Do you like relationship? You know, I went to Cynthia and I were alone on Snake River, Hell's Canyon, fishing, and enjoyed our time together. But we also, so when we came back through Madras to visit our daughter. And her family. And that was a wonderful time because I enjoy the relationship. The other day, my son was, they told him he needed to evacuate his home up in Bay City because the fires were getting close there. Actually, in Idaville. The fires were getting close there. And so you know what they did? They brought their two boys to my house. And they stayed at her parents' house. We had a great time. We had a good time. You know, I'm not a big, and I play airsoft. Okay? I mean, I'm not big into it. Like some of these guys, I mean, they got $100 guns and stuff. I just get what's given to me. I enjoy it, but the reason I do it really is to be with my grandkids. You know, just because I love the relationship. I don't know if we're going to play airsoft in heaven or not. Probably not. Scripture says he's going to take the swords and beat them into plowshares, and so there's probably not going to be a lot of antagonistic kind of war games. I'm going to miss it. I'm going to miss it. But God loves relationships. One of the things I'm sure you look forward to is when there are holidays and you have family come around, and because you love the relationships. Now listen, when you become a child of God, when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, Scripture says, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Time out. All right. So, throughout the Old Testament, we read about many people, even though sin marred that relationship, we read in the Old Testament where there were many who had a relationship. Enoch was one. He walked with God, and Scripture says he was not because God took him. We find that Abraham had a relationship. Scripture called him, here's what Scripture says. Abraham was a friend of God. God enjoyed that relationship. It was a wonderful relationship between he and Abraham. He called Jacob Israel, and I think it means Prince of God. Is that right, Daniel? It's got, so tell me what it means. Oh, the one who fights with God. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. My commentators were wrong. I love that story too. I really love that story. Sa-red. Okay. All right. So, I don't mean to get off track, but that's, so how do you fight with God and win? And that's what Jacob did. He fought with God and was victorious. Well, here's what I found. What I believe the Lord showed me was that when Jacob submitted himself to God, he became victorious. And anytime we submit to God, we become victorious. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. Isn't that wonderful? What better relationship is there than a parent and a child? A godly parent. A loving parent. And a child. I spoke a little bit about the lady who connected with me. She said to me, 7 months ago I had a child. And somehow that awoke my heart to God's love. Isn't that amazing? God hasn't forgotten about her. God is still reaching out to her. Oh, and she said this. Oh, and by the way, the doctor said I would never have children. Isn't just the way, that's just the way God is. Because he loves his kids. He loves his kids. And he's saying to her, I want to adopt you as my own. In the fullness of time. And all who receive him, they get the privilege of becoming a child of God. They get the privilege of becoming one of God's own children. And then Jesus said, I've got to go away. John chapter 14, I've got to go away. But I'm going to send one unto you. And he will be with you. He will be the Holy Spirit in your life. They didn't understand what that meant, of course. But once they received the Holy Spirit, they understood it. He says in John 14, 26, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring you to remembrance all things that I've said to you." I'm going to send a helper to you. Just a few affirmations that God is with you. And I know many of you are having some difficult times in life. Some of you are struggling right now. There are things that have happened to you recently. I think Renee's parents are here from Malala because they're out of their home. Nancy's wrote on the prayer page, "Pray for my grandparents, I think, because they have lost their home." I got a text yesterday. There's a pastor in Otis who has lost his home and everything that he owned. We've been fortunate. We have been fortunate. Here's what God says. And we need to remember these affirmations in Scripture. Genesis 26, 24, where the Lord appeared to Isaac on the night of his arrival. "I am the God of your father Abraham," he said. "Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant." Did you know that you have promises from God? And one of those promises is that I will be with you. I will be with you. Joshua 3:7. The Lord told Joshua, "Today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you, just as I was with Moses." And Isaiah 41:10, "Don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand." I tell you what, let's read that together. And after the word "you," let's put your name there. Okay? "Don't be afraid, for I am with you, Brad. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God, Brad. I will strengthen you, Brad, and help you, Brad. I will hold you, Brad, up with my victorious right hand." Woo! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! I will help you. I will be there for you. I will strengthen you. Do you need strength? Do you need help? There's a promise. God says, "I will be with you and I will help you." Look at Isaiah chapter 43, 1 and 2. "But now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you says, 'Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you." Now I want you to notice, he never did say you wouldn't go through difficult times. Right? I don't know where some Christians got the idea that if you become a Christian, you won't ever have any problems. You're going to have problems. You're going to have problems whether you're a Christian or not. The only difference is the Lord Himself will be with you as you go through these things if you are a child of God. If you're not a child of God, you just go through them yourself. And cry to somebody. And whine. And hope somebody shows pity on you. But if you're a child of God, when we cry out, he's with us. As a matter of fact, I want us to read this passage again. Go to the next slide, and I want you to put your name there where those lines are. And let's just read it together. But now, O Brad, listen to the Lord who created you. O Brad, the one who formed you says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Another passage of Scripture in Hebrews 13:5. God has said, oh, that's Old Testament. Let's look at New Testament. God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Again, let's read that passage of Scripture. And after you, put your name there. God has said, I will never fail you, Brad. I will never abandon you, Brad. He will always, always, always be there. Again, the reason God created you was to have a relationship with you. Do you like relationship? But you know, it has to be on his terms and not our terms. How many of you have ever had a broken relationship because of what somebody did to you or you did to somebody else? Usually it's because of what I've done to somebody else. Because I can forgive others. But sometimes they can't forgive me. Now, let's get to the passage regarding heaven in Revelation chapter 21. It's been a long time getting there this morning, but we're getting there. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. It says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven, or the old heaven and the old earth, had disappeared. The sea was also gone. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. So we're going to stop there just a second. I want you to get this. Scripture says that there's going to be heaven, a new heaven and a new earth. Because the former things, the old earth and the old heaven have passed away, and God's creating something new. And then New Jerusalem comes down from heaven and descends and is then placed upon earth where the Jerusalem is now today. Okay? And then it says, God himself will descend from heaven and take up residence on earth. So he can be with his people. Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy? You would think God would say, oh, I like it up here, away from everybody. Just give me my space. That's not what he says. From the very beginning, he's wanted to be with his people. From the very beginning. From creation. From the moment he thought about, and it entered his mind that I want to create people, his idea was to have a relationship with them. His idea was to be with them. And finally, at the end of time, God himself is going to descend and take up residence with his people. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? The love that God has for us. It's amazing. And then it goes on to say, he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. And the one sitting on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. And then he said to me, write this down. For what I tell you is trustworthy and true. And he also said, it is finished. I'm the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I'll give freely from the springs of water of life. Then all who are victorious will inherit the blessings, and I will be their God. They will be my children. But did you know that not everyone will be there? Scripture says, but cowards, unbelievers, corrupt, murderers, immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worship, is on all liars. How many of you have ever lied? Bummer, we're doing good until that last one, right? All liars, their fate is in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. I forget where it is, but Scripture says, and these were some of you. When Paul says in one of his passages, and these were some of you. These were some of us. But when Christ came into our heart, he changed us, he transformed us, he gave us a new heart to seek after him, to follow after him. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? When God remakes everything new, when he comes down from heaven and takes up residence upon the new earth, which it will be heaven on earth. Wouldn't that be, that's going to be awesome. So why, what's taking so long? That would be like, woo, let's do it now. So he wants more, like Jenny said, he wants more to come into his kingdom. He wants everyone who will receive Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior to come. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow about his promise. Some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. God does not want to punish anybody. God does not want anybody to go to hell. That's not his plan. That's not his desire. That's not his purpose. He loves you. He loves your children. He loves your family. He loves your friends. He loves your enemies. He loves your relationships. He loves you. And he loves everybody around you. And he's saying, just one more. Just one more soul. Just one more soul. Just one more soul. Just one more soul. But one day, the door will be closed. In Noah's day, Noah was preaching. As a matter of fact, I don't know, Enoch was a preacher. I don't know if you knew that. As a matter of fact, we have a part of his message in the book of Jude. He was one of these hellfire and brimstone preachers. Okay? And he was preaching, and during the time of Noah, but nobody repented. And one day, Noah and his family got on the ark. Scripture says that God closed the door. People were laughing and joking and making mockery of Noah and his family. And then the rain started coming. And it got up to their ankles, the water did, and it got up to their knees. And then they began thinking, hey, I'd like to get on that ark. I can imagine, Scripture doesn't say this, but I can imagine people pounding on the ark. And maybe even Noah was thinking, man, I wish I could bring them in, but God closed the door. Nobody else could get on. So I want to ask you a question. If God closed the door after this service, would you be on the ark? Would you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? Would you have turned from your sin and turned to Christ? It is not his will that any perish, but that all respond to the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Would you bow your heads this morning? Heads bowed and every eye closed. And you may be here today. And you would say to me, Pastor Brad, I feel God calling me into relationship, but I've been running from Him. Today I choose to run to Him and not away from Him. Today I desire to turn from my sin and turn to Jesus. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Okay, there's been about a half a dozen of you. Father, I come before you today, and Lord, there's several that have raised their hands. Some are uncertain about whether or not they have received you, and some are certain that if they were to die today, they would go to hell. And so, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, I pray that you would hear their prayers as they turn from sin and turn to Jesus. Lord, I know it's not the prayer that gets us into heaven, but it's that hunger and desire to be what you'd have us be, to turn from our sinful nature, turn to you. And God, I know even after we become Christians, it's not like we're all perfect and we start doing everything right. That's not the case. But Lord, you give us this desire to do right. And so, Lord, I pray that as we invite you this morning, that you would transform hearts. Only you can do that. We thank you in Jesus' name. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me. In church, you can pray with them and help them. Dear Heavenly Father, I want a relationship with you. You desire a relationship with me. But my sin has kept me from having that relationship. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me from running from you. Forgive me for not desiring a relationship with you. Forgive me for the sin in my life. I don't want it in my life any longer. I turn from sin. I turn to you. I place my trust in Jesus Christ, who died for me to take away my sin. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name.